and glory. We thank you for your love and kindness and for this day that you've made. Thank you for the baby who's going to be baptized, and that original sin will be forgiven because of Jesus Christ. We pray blessings upon our church and all who are gathered here. Speak a word now, Lord, because we're listening. Speak a word of hope and a word of peace. Most of all, a word of love. And let me decrease and you increase. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And for those of you who were here last Sunday, you know we are doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And last week we did the first fruit, which is love. Love is the first fruit. If you see the front of your bulletins, there is the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians. And we say fruit is singular because the Spirit is singular, and then it bears fruit. The fruit in us, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, bears fruit. And the first fruit is love. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And so as we go through them today, we'll be doing joy and peace. My sermon title today is that a Christian goal — last week was a Christian ideal, is love, but today it's a Christian goal — should be joy and peace. One theologian reminds us and says that we should consider that love is the budding point from which all other fruits come. Love is the budding point. That's why love is the first fruit from which all other fruit come. If you don't have love, you can't have joy and peace and patience and kindness. It comes out of love. And so we know that the first fruit is love. There's a little song that we sang. I thought Susan might have had it this morning, but she did not. Is, "I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul." And then the songwriter says, "I've got love like an ocean." Right? Wide open to everyone. Love like an ocean. Love like an ocean in my soul. And then there is joy. I have joy like a what? Fountain. What an imagery, right? It's bubbling up, joy. It's like a fountain bubbling up from deep in our souls. You know, it's not an outward thing, it's an inward kind of joy in your soul. "I've got joy like a fountain in my soul." You know, we are called to have peace and joy as Christians. It's not always easy. The psalmist reminds us this morning some of the great psalms. There are psalms of lament, and there are psalms of praise. There are psalms that are corporate. There are psalms that are individual. So we have lament individual psalms where the psalmist is just crying and praying to God about death or sickness. We call them psalms of lament. Then there are wisdom psalms, like the first Psalm 1 is a wisdom psalm, right? And then "Blessed is the man who by the tree of the water," you know, those psalms. I'm going to start mixing them up now. But there's a psalm like that: "Blessed is the man who's laid by the streams of water," and so on. It gives you wisdom. And then there are lament psalms that are individual and lament psalms that are corporate. But this Psalm 100 is a corporate psalm, a psalm of thanksgiving. "And all the lands are summoned to praise God." The psalmist is a psalm of thanksgiving. And the psalmist begins, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." If the psalmist is commanding, make a joyful noise. "Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And then he tells us, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving When we come into his gates, now that everything is perfect, because we are joyful, we enter with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. It's a command for us to be joyful, to be thankful for what God has done for us. You see, joy unlike happiness. You see, unlike happiness, joy is gladness that is completely independent of the good or bad things that happen in the course of the day. You don't know, you know at McDonald's they say happy meal. Right? We could get a happy meal because you eat it and you get happy. And if you have a little kid, they eat it and they get happy to the next 2 hours. They want to eat another one and get happy again. Right? You know what I'm saying. All of us parents and grandparents, you get an happy meal. Right? You don't hear a joy meal. The fact, joy denotes a supernatural gladness given by God's Spirit that actually seems to show up best during hard times. That's why Nehemiah would say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It means that I may not feel like having joy, but because of my relationship with the Lord, this joy that I may feel, even though the circumstance does not dictate that I should be joyful, the joy of the Lord is my strength, the joy of knowing. This is a product of fixing your focus on God's purposes for the events in your life rather than on the circumstance. For example, I was looking at getting a car, and I my other car I've had forever just because I hate going to get a car. I don't mind. I wish a car would just drive up at my house. I hate going into the place and have to negotiate and talk and try to get the best price from those guys who think I don't know what I'm doing. And then I surprise them that I do know what I'm doing. And anyway, looking at the car looks lovely, looks nice. That doesn't give me joy. It gives me happiness. When I finally closed the deal and I got 0% and argued with the guy and made sure I didn't have to pay, if I was going to finance any portion of it, I would never pay a dime in interest rate. There was no joy at that moment till we all work it out. You know what I'm saying? But after we work it out and there was 0%, there was happiness. Right? I was happy that I won the deal. That I was wise enough to win the deal in that sense. So there was that happy. We buy a new house, we get happy. But joy is something else. Let me explain something a little bit to you about joy and peace. These fruit of the Spirit that one must seek to have so that we could go through life. Yesterday at conference, not yesterday, on Friday, we were all there. It might have been Friday or Thursday. Could have been the second day, but we're all sitting there, pastors and clergy. And then we are told over by our bishop that one of our colleagues has to go home. And they announce these things because they want us to pray. One of our members called in and their 18-month-old baby died in the crib. You could hear a sound. You could hear a pin drop. And you could hear the sigh from every pastor, every clergy, every person there. And you could hear people saying, oh God, have mercy. Oh Lord, have mercy. She had to leave the conference because that 18-month-old baby was found in the crib, dying. How do we find joy and peace? The joy. Yet the conference had to continue. We began to pray and people sat in their seats praying and praying for this family that we don't know, living up in Peekskill, part of our conference. Our sister and brother, husband and wife, Christian friends, trying to find that joy. That's why we say joy comes in the midst of turmoil, because after we had prayed and we continued with the conference, we would yet get up and sing. Sing to this Lord. Sing and praise his name. Asking him to comfort this family. To be with this mother and father. There was no happiness. But there was that joy of knowing that we're in right relationship with Jesus Christ. Peace. Peace is not the absence of turmoil, but it's the presence of tranquility, even while in a place of chaos. It is a sense of wholeness and completeness that is content, knowing that God controls the events of the day. That peace that surpasses all understanding does not mean it's the absence of turmoil. All kind of stuff could be going on wrong in our lives. Yet we could sometimes say we've got that peace that surpasses all understanding. And after that happened for that pastor, we heard that another older clergy, was retired. It was then announced that he had passed. He was in his 80s. That doesn't make it any easier for us. An Hispanic pastor had worked very hard in the conference at past. Yet we continued to sing, praise God, after we prayed for the family. And yesterday, we truly know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because without God, we can't go through this thing. I was sitting next to a pastor from Long Island, David. He had a bongo drum, and I was playing with him in between. There was a celebration. And then all of a sudden, I saw him looking quiet. And I said, David, he was looking at his cell phone. I says, what's happening? And he said, they just text me. One of my members died. I says, Lord, again? He was 82, the sexton or a trustee. Been in the hospital. David had gone to visit him. And they thought he was doing well. And he would pass. Now, my sisters and brothers, as I continue with this, after a while, one becomes weary. But yet, we have to find joy and peace. Now, was that finished? It wasn't finished. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The fruit of the Spirit. Only the Spirit can strengthen us during those times. Jesus says in the gospel, my peace I leave you. Not as the world give you. He's going to give us that peace that we can't explain. While we were sitting, because it was ordination yesterday. Now remember, we also have a remembrance service. And we had a whole bunch of clergy who passed away and laity last year. And their spouses, a lot of them were older. Doesn't matter, I'm not negating or minimizing that. And our bishop. We had that memorial service, and what a preaching that DS preached on. Oh,
praise the Lord.
What it means to die in Christ. When he got done, we were all crying. What it means to die in Christ. When he preached that sermon, we all needed it. We needed it. Wasn't it, Susan, and amazing and Zamzam? To give us the hope to continue. There the names are listed of all of those who had served Christ in the church, laity, and who had gone home within a year. We do it every year. Yet we would have to find that peace. And as I bring this together, I want to say while we were sitting at the ordination service yesterday, there was a pastor, we're all in rows, and the laity sitting at the back, and all the clergies were sitting. While we were sitting there, and they're singing, and we're order my steps in your word, Lord, the songs were gorgeous, and the bishop preached, our visiting bishop. All of a sudden, the row in front of me, a pastor fell out of her seat on the ground. Keeled over, not in the spirit, not a word, couldn't speak, knocked out just like that. And we jumped up, and people got up, and a couple of the pastors who were nurses came, and I got up because she was right in front of me, and all I could do, like the other people and everybody stretched my hands out to her, and I just started to pray and says, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, heal her. Lord, in the name of... We just kept saying that, and people were praying. And she wasn't coming around, but I know her, Karen Carper. She's a cancer survivor. Lots of people there did not know that, because I come out of the Connecticut district, and she's from that district. She was. Right when she was starting her ordination process, she came down with breast cancer. And she would, through God's grace, beat it, and has been doing well. And so we thought this was going to be it. You could hear our bishop's voice when she said,
Does anybody call 911? And if somebody was on his phone, hello, calling 911. And we are praying, and pastors are crying, and we are praying, and the service stopped. And we started, the people are just praying and praying, and we're wringing our hands. And we understand what the Jewish people say when you start to wring your hands, you're so overwhelmed because. And somewhere between all of that, the Lord stepped in, and she just sat up.
Praise
Thanks
God.
Be to God. And then they got people to come in and take her. She sat up. She was able to get up and walk, and they took her out. She couldn't walk well, of course. And you could hear us sitting there thinking, it could be any of us. How do we go through that? Do you think we didn't stop the conference. They took her out, and we continued. We were told later that she was doing better. I would see her when I was leaving, and I says, Karen, I'm praying for you. And she says, please pray. She couldn't stand up. She was sitting. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That joy cannot be external. It would never have sustained us. A nice outfit, a pretty car cannot sustain us. That's the joy, the fruit of the Spirit that the Bible is talking about. That kind of joy and that kind of peace. That in the midst of turmoil, you know that you have a God that you could trust and a God that you could call on. The writer of It Is Well With My Soul, Harold Stafford, he wrote that song when? After his four children. Do you know a little bit about his story, the writer of It Is Well With Our Soul? He had gone through a hard time. The banks had crashed in Chicago. He had lost his business and then lost his money, and he had sent his daughter, his wife and four daughters to go to England. And on their way to England, their ship ran into difficulty and his four daughters were killed. When he came back, he had lost his business, and he decided to take the ship to join his wife in England. She was the only one living, four children. And he was able to write that song during those times when peace like a river attended my soul. Look at the words. It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. I think he says in the first verse, when they're buffeted by, he knew what he was writing. That's the time he wrote that song. Lost four children, yet he would understand that peace that would surpass all understanding. That problem that comes before us, that there's no way out. And do you know what would happen to him? God would bless him again with three children afterwards, and his son would die, his young son died as a boy. That the Presbyterian church would say that he belonged to, that he was what? That he must have been cursed. Because they could not believe all of this would happen to one man. And so when we sing these words that says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, he knew. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. He says, though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well. That is that peace we are talking about. That understanding that in the midst of turmoil and strife and sickness, there's a God who is with us. And so Paul would tell the Galatians church, he would tell them the same thing. They were going through their own kind of heresy and false doctrine and all of that. And he would say to them, no, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness and compassion and love and peace and joy. We have got to find it, because that's the only thing who could bring us through these circumstances. So today, this morning when I got up, I thought of Pastor Karen Carp, and I says, God, how is she doing? Lord, I says, I'm praying for her. to bring her through this circumstance. Yet we will all get up and go to church today and praise God because we are trusting in the Lord to bring her through and to bring us through. Because remember the words of Jesus, "My peace I give you." His peace. He has sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to live in us. That thing, that person that we cannot explain, to comfort us. To comfort us, to bring us through. When we were all crying yesterday, clergy were crying, and we were watching Karen on the floor in front of us. We had just all marched in together. All marched in together, just 20 minutes before, dancing and singing. And there, in 40 minutes later, she was on the floor. It's the joy of the Lord that's our strength, because we got up, those young people were ordained, and we sang songs once we heard. When they said that she was up and doing well, everybody jumped up and we started clapping. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We were just so elated. Only Christ can do that for us. You know, the rabbi said yesterday in his little paper, he says joy is for the righteous. He says Christianity took something from Judaism in our Judeo-Christian faith about hope. He says, and what a great gift that is for Christianity. He says, even though that's not his faith, he's not a Christian, the fact that we have a hope in Christ is one of the greatest gifts. And that hope brings us joy. He says that's why that hope is better than truth. Because truth can be debated, but our hope in Christ cannot be debated. Amen. Cannot be debated. And this was answered by a person, as I bring it home, who wrote a letter to him and said, this woman was dying, had lost both lungs and she was dying. And when the priest was there, all she said to the priest, she says, "Pray for hope for my family, that my family will have hope."
Amen.
That I am dying. This is what it means today for us, Christian believers, Christian friends, that there's a hope in Christ, no matter how bad it is, and that hope gives us the peace. And then peace, from the peace comes that joy, that we could serve God and go through our circumstances no matter what happens. So when peace like a river attended all our way, we can stand up and say, it is well with my soul. It didn't say it is well with my life, with my circumstance, but it's well with my soul. I pray it's well with your soul this morning. And if it isn't, there's a Savior called Jesus who's willing and able to wrap his arms around you and me and bring us to whatever difficulty lies ahead. His name is Jesus Christ, the one who gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding, cannot be explained by any truth, but gives us the hope to hold on. Thanks be to God for Jesus. Amen.